You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week Art and Soul is about the art of well-being. And I'm joined by two special guests who work together creating the book Awakening Compassion at Work. So welcome Monica Warline and Jane Dutton.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're glad to be here.
Dr. Dutton is professor, co-founder of the Center for Positive Organizations at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. And Dr. Warline is also a faculty member at U of M and a researcher at Stanford University Center for Compassion and Altruism. Was it your idea to write this book?
It was our idea together. We've actually been working together on compassion research for 20 years.
It started when Monica was a student at the University of Michigan, and it's continued since then.
Tell us what we mean when we're talking about compassion.
We mean a very specific four-part human experience that involves noticing that someone is in distress or suffering. We use the word suffering. Interpreting that in a way that makes us feel more empathy and feel that we should respond to them. And then that feeling of empathy is the third part, and acting to alleviate the suffering in some way is the fourth part. Noticing, interpreting, feeling, and acting.
And empathy is part of compassion?
Yes.
I think people might think those are the same thing.
In common conversation, it's very often used interchangeably, but when we take a scientific point of view on compassion and we want to measure it, we measure empathy as a very distinct part of it.
What prompted you to write the book?
One is just the fact that there's so much suffering happening at work. If you look at the level of depression, anxiety, stress, loss that people experience at work, we feel that by center staging compassion, we also start to think about how we can alleviate some of the suffering that happens in workplaces.
Is that people bringing their normal everyday lives to work, or is work creating the suffering?
It's actually both. And that's another important thing we wanted to draw attention to in the book.
Is it okay to bring your personal problems or show that personal sad side of yourself?
Well, it's very helpful for people to limit how much of their personal life they bring into work. So we don't encourage everybody to come in crying all the time.
Right.
But what happens is that there are certain episodes in life that we just can't keep out of work. They color everything about our being. When we can't talk about them or show them at work, it's very hard to notice and pick up on the signals and take care of the people around us. So it is beneficial in some ways to let a little bit of that through.
And Lisa, I got to add that another reason we wrote the book is that it's safe to cry in some workplaces and not in others. And we are organizational researchers, so we wrote the book in part to sensitize people to the fact that certain kinds of organizational conditions make it easier or more difficult for us to express our suffering, and make it easier or more difficult for people to respond to that suffering with compassion.
The name of the book is Awakening Compassion at Work. Did you write it for bosses or employees or both?
We wrote it for both. We think it's really important that anyone who's interested in more compassion in their work environment would have access to the ways that they could awaken it. So the first half of the book, it talks to people in whatever kinds of role they're in about how they might do that. And the second half of the book talks about organizational design and the things that managers typically think about a bit more.
And what are the benefits of being compassionate at work?
Well, in the past 20 years, a lot of benefits have actually been measured and assessed. So we show that when people work in a more compassionate environment, they feel that they can be more innovative, they're more adaptable to change, they're more able to deliver high-quality service. It helps organizations attract and keep really talented people.
Does that boil down to an employee just feeling more understood and accepted, and then they feel more comfortable, they're more productive?
That's one of the logics for why compassion is so important. If you are suffering quiet mm-hmm. and in some sense not getting any support or help, it can compromise your performance or your ability to be engaged at the workplace.
What do you say to people who say, this is a job place, this is a workplace, I don't have time for your problems?
Well, we actually say that if you don't have time and space for people's problems and their suffering, then they're going to actually take up even more time and space.
Ah.
So the counterintuitive logic there is that by helping people feel cared for and know that they're embraced in their work environment, they actually bring more discretionary effort, and they bring more of themselves to work. And other people pitch in and pick up slack in different kinds of ways, and it makes them feel good to do that. So part of our research shows that even when we see compassion in our work environment, even if we're not receiving it ourselves, it uplifts us and makes us want to go the extra mile.
And in today's war for talent, it's really, these are the kinds of small differences that actually make a big difference in both attracting and retaining people who, you know, would be very desirable to other organizations.
A couple of interesting things I read in the book were that empathy is both a feeling and a choice.
Yes, this is a big line of research right now. Some people criticize empathy. You might have heard of the book Against Empathy that came out this year, because they say that whenever we're faced with too much suffering, our empathy can shut down quickly, which is true. We can measure that in the laboratory. But it's also a choice that we can make to empathize with other people. And that's where things like mindfulness and meditation and compassion training come in. Because if we practice and teach ourselves to choose empathy when we notice suffering, we get better at it.
And you also say in the book that we have the capacity to turn on and turn off feelings of concern for other people. Is that a skill?
It is a skill. It is a skill. And it's largely based on what I said about interpreting. Right? When we interpret other people as worthy of our time and our care, then we become more likely, and we can also become more skilled at responding to what they need.
And this is, again, where I'll add, the organization that you're working in makes a difference, because some organizations have values and norms that make us, that sensitize us to other people and to their condition and make care a priority. In other organizations, care is seen as irrelevant.
See, I'm pretty much an empath. I always just say I cry at McDonald's commercials. If you were to cry, I would be crying. If you were feeling pain, I will literally feel your pain right now.
Yes.
But I'm hearing you say it can be a learned skill as well.
Yes, that's right. So everyone has a kind of place where they fall on a spectrum of being able to feel what other people feel.
And some people, it's nothing.
Sometimes people are not good at it. But the part of empathy that's really important for compassion is feeling concerned for the other person's well-being, even if you have no clue what they're actually feeling. You can want them to be well, and that motivates you to act on their behalf.
And I think I want to add that we've had the privilege of studying organizations that we would say are positively deviant. That means they're really high performers, but they're also deeply humane workplaces. And we, in interviewing employees who work there, they will talk about, through their work, becoming a better person in the sense of becoming more caring, more open-hearted, more fully human. So again, workplaces make a difference in terms of whether we become more or less caring.
It's interesting to hear that the research that is behind this, and it's all been put into a book called Awakening Compassion at Work. We've been talking to the authors, Monica Werlein and Jane Dutton. Thank you so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU's Art and Soul.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.